Amen. Psalm chapter 78, if you'll go there, please. Psalm chapter 78. I brought my whistle, and that probably scares you. It probably scares the sound guys more than anybody. But you know, let's step away. So Brother Delhay, if somebody says, hey, there was a basketball game, and the referee didn't call one foul. So I guess there's two assumptions you could make. You could decide that the game was completely clean, or that the referee did not do his job. And, well, I don't know, about 99% plus times out of 100%, it's going to be the fact that the referee did not do his job. And young people, you have different referees in your life, and you're training to be a referee someday. You're going to have to, when you have children of your own, every time they step on that out-of-bounds line, it's your job to every time. And the same in your heart, you think, I wonder how many times I can step before, oh, you shut me down, huh? You're like, forget it. Forget him. They can hear the whistle, they don't have to hear what he says. And it's in the young person's heart, because we're sinners. I wonder how many times I can step on that out of bounds line before my parents get tired of blowing the whistle. And I've seen some parents say, I'm so tired. I think I'm the crazy one, because they step on the out of bounds line, I blow the whistle, they look at me, why won't you be more compassionate? You're always blowing the whistle. Like, well, it seems like if you'll just stay in bounds. If you would just stay in bounds. It's an exciting game. You're playing an entirely different game. You're playing, how many times can I step on the out of bounds line before my dad gives up on me? That's the wrong game. And by the way, when you win that game and dad loses that game, you don't win anything. You don't win anything. Yay! Now the referee that God has placed in your life is, I think I'm nuts. Maybe I'll just stop blowing that whistle. Maybe I'll just stop. It seems like it's just this battle that I'm tired of fighting. Yay, son or daughter, you win. I guess there's two groups there, huh? I would say, young person, don't play that wrong game. That's not the game you want to play. And when you defeat your parents, you both lose. And parent, don't give up. Every time they step on that out of bounds line, you need to lovingly blow that whistle, because if they can, there's nothing left. If they can take the basketball and dribble out the door and you got to chase them around the gymnasium, basketball, you're not even playing basketball anymore. Forget it. What is this? I'm done. This has degraded to something else. I'm done. Parents, don't give up on blowing that whistle. And young people, thank God for somebody in your life that's blowing a whistle. Thank God for someone in your life. And you step on that out of bounds line, they blow that whistle, Lord, thank you. And parents, you're unique. I mean, there's teachers, there's pastors, I mean, policemen. God even has policemen. You blow through the red light and they pull you over, they blow the whistle. God has given you lots of referees, and he's training you to be a referee someday. There will be people that are looking to you for some leadership. And if you've been a rebel as a young person, you'll be a rebel as a parent. And you'll be like the parents we're looking at right here. And life will be miserable. So here in Psalm 78, verses 8 through 10. Psalm 78, verses 8 through 10. So we've been talking about these others. And so let me read, kind of leading up to our verses for tonight. So let me read up to that, starting at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Oh, how fun. I sit with my kids at family devotions. And right now, Brother Skeen, I have my wife there, my three kids, and I'm like, this is so fun to just praise the Lord with you guys. And I wish it could be like this forever. And I know it won't. I know that Austin moves out at some point. The kids grow up and they leave. But I wish it could, a part of me wishes it could be the five of us sitting together for family devos forever and ever. But a part of me knows that's not the best thing. And I train my kids to grow, my girls to be a godly wife who loves the Lord and can follow a husband. That he's going to be one of the referees in her life, and to say thank you, Lord, for the people I have to follow, and my son to follow the referees he has in his life, and they're going to walk. And I wish it could be, but how fun it is just to sit and say, hey, kids, God is wonderful, and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. And again, there's rules. There's rules, the law in Israel. He said, if you want to play the game and be successful and win, here are the rules. Yay, thank you, thank you. Which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Kids, there's rules. And I'm going to teach you the rules. And when you step on the out of bounds line, I'm going to blow the whistle. Because the rules mean something. They're not just intellectual games that you play. This is the literal rules of life. This will make or break your life. This is when you please God, right? He says in Deuteronomy, I think chapter 28, where he says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. I set before you life and death. It's a serious matter. It's not, well, God's laws are interesting. No, it's life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose the life that both thou and thy seed may live. Obey my law. Take them seriously. Young people, when your parents blow that whistle, thank you. Thank you for a mom, and thank you for a dad. Thank you for school teachers. Thank you for a pastor. Thank you for the policemen that remind me that I can't do whatever I want on the road. I'm sure glad, I think I should be able to do whatever I want out there. Aren't you glad that everyone else isn't allowed to do whatever they want? And kill me? Well, I think I'm different. Oh, explain that. You would be one of the many people out there doing whatever you want, and then people are just dying out on the roads. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their generation, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And here we are at verse 8. And might not be as their fathers. What a sad statement. Here we have some fathers who were rebellious. Their hearts were not right. It gives us four descriptions of these fathers. He says they were stubborn. Sounds like proud. No, nobody's going to correct me. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. It sounds like they didn't listen to the referees in their life. They decided, I'm not going to do what they had that hard neck, often reproved, suddenly destroyed, that without remedy. Stubborn and rebellious, my way. In fact, that's some parents quit blowing the whistle because their kids wear them out, and they're just like, I'm just tired of obeying. Some parents just don't care. They never have blowed the whistle. I do what I want, and I suppose my kids can do what they want, and who cares? And praise God for a parent that blows the whistle, but keep blowing that whistle. And maybe some of you will say, I'm a first-generation Christian. I had a set of parents that didn't know, but they didn't blow the whistle much at all. Well, end the cycle. Be that parent that changes that cycle. Don't count that as your golden ticket. Well, I didn't have parents that raised me very well, so that's my golden ticket to live. That's my excuse to live however I want. No! End that cycle. stubborn, rebellious, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Those four descriptions. Then, because of those things, there was defeat and disobedience. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle, equipped but had no heart for battle. And then here's the disobedience. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forget his works and his wonders which he had showed them. God made sure they knew his greatness, and they decided it wasn't impressive. His works and his wonders which he had showed them. So we see fathers who further the faith. We want to be dads and moms that pass along those right things. And young people, you're dads and moms in training. You got that? You're dads and moms in training. And what you reap what you sow. You want to put your parents through all sorts of grief? And again, how many times have we sinned? And it's like, but the consequences, I'm manly enough to deal with the consequences. Oh, you're foolish enough to act like the consequences don't matter. When you're young and arrogant, bring on the consequences. That's not tough. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. And you say, I put my parents through grief. And I'll take whatever grief my kids want to throw at me because I deserve it. We'll have a good laugh. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. Repent of that dark, devilish attitude. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you bless this lesson. I pray you'd help parents, Lord, as referees. When do I get to stop blowing the whistle? Well, if they're on your court, every time they step on the line, you're going to blow that whistle. You're a referee in their life. Pray you'd help us, Lord. Help me. Lord, I get tired. I think every one of us, dads and moms, we get tired of, I don't want to blow the whistle. I don't want to get up off my comfortable chair and do something about that, Lord. But help us to love the people in our lives enough. And help the young people in here to realize that there are moms and dads in training. They're going to be the referees at some point to blow that whistle, Lord. And if they've lived a life of stubbornness, then they're going to have an Ephraim in their life that's maybe has some equipping but has no heart for the battle. And then refuse to set their heart aright. And there's just defeat and disobedience and defeat and disobedience. And that's all they know. Oh, God, we want better things than that. Please be with this time. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. So they had sorry examples for fathers for sure. But we, if he's like, I had parents that didn't blow that whistle like they should, then tonight, let's ask God, help me to end the cycle. I remember years ago having a bus mom that she got saved and she was trying to do right things for God, but you could just tell the world was pulling on her, and she would throw that out there. I wasn't raised like Kara. I wasn't raised. I mean, I didn't have the upbringing. And you could tell that she was trying to justify stepping into the world. The world had such a pull, and she wanted to go from guy to guy. That's not right. It's not. Oh, but I wasn't raised. It was her golden ticket, the fact that she didn't have the parents that some people have. And there's no such thing as a golden ticket for you to do wrong. Ah, but she felt that she didn't have the parents. But again, God had brought my wife and me into her life and others before us that had loved on her and showed her the right path. And God himself showing her his love for her. Her golden ticket to fall repeatedly into sin. Boy, with my golden ticket, I can do what's wrong and blame somebody else. I can do what I want, and it's my parents' fault. And again, you can sit down with any psychologist nowadays and hear that, right? going from this to that. And again, this world was so intriguing for her. But if that's you and you say, boy, I didn't have a safe set of parents. Boy, be the set of parents that you never had. Be that mom, be that dad. Give your children what you didn't have. And then even thank God for, in his wisdom, the parents you did have and the things they did teach you. Don't wait, don't live this life waiting for God to apologize. God knew what he was doing when he placed you into the home you were in. He didn't mess up. He didn't fail. Don't think that like God has failed you and he needs your forgiveness. Don't live that life. God doesn't need anyone's forgiveness. There was a breakdown in this line of communication in Israel. As a result, chaos had set in. The psalmist insists on biblical teaching of children so that they might not be as their father, stubborn and rebellious. And he brings up the example of Ephraim. No longer had that vital, dynamic faith grounded in historical revelation. He turned back in the day of battle. Defeat and disgrace came upon this tribe because it no longer had a dynamic historical faith in God. Failure to pass along a vital spiritual truth resulted in a disintegration of national character. And it will happen in our church as well. If we don't have, again, young people, you take your responsibility seriously. Parents in training, and parents, you keep blowing that whistle, and it's out of love. It's not you just blow your whistle because I like to tell you how wrong you are. It's I want to blow the whistle so you can get back to the actual game you're supposed to be playing. Those four descriptions of stubbornness, rebelliousness. Parents, make sure our children, mine included, aren't seeing one thing at church and another thing at home. Make sure, again, yes, look like you're excited about God here, but at home, look like you're excited about God because you are genuinely excited about God. Your kids will know the difference. My kids will know the difference. I don't know, sometimes kids, it's, you know, I messed up. And so dad has his golden ticket, right? I don't have the opportunities ahead of me that you have because it's too late for me. You know, I'll joke with Alec and Kate and Claire sometimes. I'll have a bowl of ice cream and like, Dad, can we have some of that? And I'm like, well, this is bad for you. And it's too late for dad. But there's still hope for you to avoid all the awfulnesses of overeating ice cream. And that whole, it's too late for dad, but, and they laugh. You know, and but I think there's some parents that are like, I give in these areas I shouldn't, but I want better things for you. You're teaching the kids the wrong thing. They're going to grow up just like sometimes the kids who ride the Sunday school buses that say, my parents don't go to church, and they kind of send me, yes, it's wonderful, but at some point, some of those young people are going to grow up thinking the definition of an adult is someone that doesn't have to go to church when they don't want to. The definition of adult is someone that can let this mouth fly in whatever they want, in whatever way they want. Don't care who they hurt, how they scream, whatever it is, what profanity they use. I can't wait till I become an adult and I can do all the things adults do. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that. I've given up on some things that I should be doing, but I want better things for you. Yes, want better things for them, but show them those things in your life. Hearts that weren't right. They did not set their heart aright. They would read a verse like Colossians 3:2 that says, set your affections on things above. You take your heart and set your affection on things above. You set it. Don't go wherever your heart wants to go. You take your heart and set it on right things. And if there's wrong things, I'm just drawn to those wrong things. If God would make right things more interesting, maybe I'd be drawn to those. Again, we have 1,001 reasons why it's everyone's fault but mine. God says, You identify those things that are not right. Detach your heart. You set your heart on things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this world. You do that. Show your kids that it's the most wonderful thing in the world. I'm glad. I went through the phase, young people, where you see the next movie coming out. You're like, oh, I wonder if that's clean enough for my dad to let me watch it. Oh no, it kind of frightens me that there may be movies I never see. I mean, action movies, exciting action movies that I never see. Kind of scares you a little bit. And you're like, I wonder if I could sneak and watch some of those things. And praise the Lord, you get to the point. God helps you. I remember worrying, oh no. I would watch it for the right reasons. I just want to see the action. And then there may be some immodesty and some whatever. I remember, oh no, I'm a Christian. That means that there are some of those action movies that I kind of want to see that I may never see. And you get to the point where like, I'm glad. I'm glad that there are movies that I will never see. And I'm fine with that. And I know nowadays, parents don't, like, oh, I don't, with clear play and different filters. Yeah, we can watch anything. Be careful of that. Be careful of that. Because those filters, are they truly filtered? Do they look at those things the way you do? What are they letting through? It's a dirty movie, but we cleaned it up. Let's not be watching dirty movies. Be careful of all those things. And I know I've used those filters, and it was fun. I got to show my son a war movie that I remember watching years and years and years ago, and I was glad I could clean it up, an old black and white. But it had a lot of cussing. It was with the filters. I was like, clean it up. But again, be careful that, nothing's off the table now. Yay! Lots of things should be off the table still. Be careful of those things. No preparedness or willingness to entertain the will of the Father, fickle as the wind and changeless as the waves, not set upon God. Their spirit was not steadfast with God. Sometimes it seems like in the wilderness Israel, their only consistency was their inconsistency. Let's not be like that. In our homes, let's be consistent. If it's right, we're going to do that every time. And if we don't, we're going to, hey, that was wrong. I'm dad and I allowed that wrong thing. Forgive me, it's not going to happen again. Oh, that each generation would stand on the shoulders of the previous generation. I want my son to be able to stand on my shoulders to have a better chance at a Christian life than me. Oh, that next generation, sometimes there is that prodigal son time. That father in Luke 15 that was doing so good. And then that child that said, I need to spend time with the pigs. But praise God, he came to himself. There was repentance. And he said, I will arise and go to my father. Praise God for that. And every parent should want, I want my children to be able to stand on my shoulders and go further than I was able to go. We see these four descriptions. Now the psalmist shows us an example of what happens when these things are not true. Defeat and failure. What happens to a nation which fails to pass on its spiritual heritage to its children? Children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. Kept not the covenant of God, refused to walk in his law, forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. So there was defeat and disobedience. They turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant. They refused to walk in his law. And again, you say, well, what defeat is this referring to? It's possibly referring to the general failure of Ephraim to conquer the land of Canaan, or possibly Numbers 14. When God told Israel, you're not allowed into the promised land, and they said, and again, we're so rebellious that sometimes the thing that will get us to do a thing is when we're told we can't. Israel, I want you to go in and conquer that land. We're not going to do it. Okay, well, then you can't.
Okay, now we're interested.
And so they defy God. They start to go and they're turned back. And they're sent back into the wilderness for those 40 years. One commentator said, "How often have we also, though supplied with every gracious weapon, failed to wage successful war against our own sin? We have marched onward gallantly enough until the testing hour has come. And then in the day of battle, we have proved false to the good resolutions and the holy obligations." Did Israel make some good obligations and some good resolutions and holy obligations? They sure did, didn't they? Remember in Exodus 19, now therefore, this is Exodus 19 verses 5 through 8. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." You're special to me. And if you'll just live set apart to me, oh, do I have wonderful things for you. "These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Vows and promises forgotten, idols set up, and lives of fornication sought after instead. We prove false to good resolutions and holy obligations. We become like helpless cowards in the time of holy war. And how sad, because they were so well equipped but had no heart for the battle. God brought them out of Egypt to live a life out of Egypt. You get that? The reason he brought them out of Egypt was to live a life out of Egypt, not having a heart that craved for those things. Brought them into a new land, and soon they sought to adopt the sins of the surrounding nations and turn their backs on the pure testimony towards their holy God, refused to walk in his law. Soon they became a people of fornication and idolatry. They knew what God wanted, but followed their own way instead. Away with God's law. They forget. God made sure they saw his wonders. But again, we forget the things we're unimpressed with, don't we? And they were unimpressed with God. They forget. Had they divinely remembered, they would have been filled with gratitude and inspired by holy awe. But again, you may as well have written the testimony of God upon the surface of the waters of our pool for as long as they lasted in their hearts. Again, if we go up to the pool up here, right, we can write things in the pool of the surface of the water there, and they don't last very long, do they? And when you have a heart that's not set toward God, and you may as well write the wonders of God upon the surface of our heart, and it vanishes just as quickly as if you try to inscribe something on the surface of our pool. They forget. But before we condemn them, let us repent of our own wicked forgetfulness and confess the many times when we have been unmindful of the past goodnesses of God. The essence of this chapter, don't be like Ephraim in their defeat and disobedience. Train your kids to set their hearts and their hopes on God. Ours is a historical faith. We pass on his story and the historical basis to our children. And if we do, God will bless. If we don't, there will be a decay of national character leading to a refusal to face the foe. We'll have a degradation of even the quality of our own church and our families. And that's the last thing I want for my kids. That's the last thing. Boy, I sat up here and watched as that all those kids went flooding out the back door. It's an exciting sight. It's a very exciting sight. You don't quite see it. But up here, just seeing the flood of kids heading out that back door, and you think, oh, Lord, get a hold of those hearts. Help them to have their hopes and their hearts set on you, Almighty God. I don't want them to be equipped for battle but have no heart for it. Oh, the unsaved man and even the carnal man, array them in the best that nature and grace can supply, and he still remains a helpless coward in the holy war so long as he lacks that holy faith in God. They forget his works and his wonders that they had that he had showed them. Oh, that their hearts would have been filled with gratitude and seized with holy awe. That would have kept them on the right track. Parents, that's our goal, to teach our kids to have a heart filled with gratitude and a heart that's seized with a holy awe for the things of God. Let's repent of not being where we should be. Do I have the heart of gratitude? Adults, do we have the heart of gratitude that we should have? Before, a lot of times we get upset, right, with our own children. How many of you moms and dads have been smitten by God up in heaven? You go, why can't you just be soft in this area? And the Lord's like, and you're like, I know. I'm not soft in the areas that I should be soft in. Do I have a heart filled with gratitude and seized with a holy awe for him? What do my kids see me doing with my time? So, young person, I remember I was there. You start playing this entirely different game. That's not the game we're supposed to be playing. Can I wear down mom and dad? The answer is, unfortunately, a lot of times, yes. I've seen parents worn down by children playing the wrong game. And when you beat them to the point where they're like, I give up. You lose. Thank God for a parent, a mom or a dad. It's easier to let you do what you want to do. The more difficult road is to blow that whistle and say, listen, that's not what we're playing here. Get away from the out of bounds line and get in there. It's enjoyable if you'll just set your heart on the right game. And parents, maybe those kids are playing the wrong. You just got to keep blowing the whistle. Love them and keep blowing the whistle. Keep blowing the whistle. Let's pray.